It's the 100th episode. I am so, so excited and so thrilled to have my guests today. Let's get into the business side of things first. I have to contain myself because I always want to just jump in and start talking to my guests. But this is hashtag no limits. Hashtag no limits is about people who society has placed limits upon, but who have busted through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are, but not who we will be. I believe that to be 100% true. And I believe that there is no better example of that than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. The caterpillar literally dissolves into its cells and then it reforms into the butterfly. And if that's not difficult enough, then it has to struggle in order for its wings to be strong enough to fly when it gets out of the cocoon. None of that is easy, but also none of the limits that people bust through all the time are easily busted through. But we have people like Jillica and Connor and their platform and their organization that are helping. And we have so many other amazing people and organizations that I have had great pleasure to interview and hopefully will continue to have great pleasure interviewing more and more people. Because today is the 100th episode, if you are participating live and you are actively participating, I have some timers randomly set on my phone. When those timers go off, the last person to have commented before that timer went off will receive a gift card, and I will work it out with you if you would prefer a Starbucks or a Amazon gift card. So make sure you're commenting. Colleen, thank you for joining us from the East Coast. I'm so excited. Even though you don't have a mic, you can still type your questions in and keep commenting. For the rest of you, make sure that you're letting me know if you're hashtag live or hashtag replay. Hi, Fran from Southern Illinois. So keep those comments coming. And Connor and Jillian, welcome. Thank you for joining me today on this, my 100th episode.
Thank you. Great to be here. Yeah, so excited. I just found this virtual background, so it's not real.
Okay, well, it looks beautiful. I wouldn't have known any different had you not said.
It's wonderful to be here and honored to be on the 100th episode. I know it's a big milestone for the show and no limits, so we're super thrilled to be here.
Yeah, I am so excited. So let's talk about what it is that you guys do and what each of your backgrounds were that brought you to where you are today.
Sure. I guess I can kick us off. My name is Jillica Kumar. I am the co-founder and CEO at Mentra. And growing up, I am the little sister of a non-speaking autistic individual named Vikram. Vikram is... after 27 years of not being able to express himself and communicate reliably, my family and I sort of uncovered his own potential through technology. And the way that we did that was really through connecting him with the right tools and supports and the right technology that could enable him to type. And so after 6 months of hard work, and he was able to learn how to spell, to express himself, and I just realized, you know, he's an incredibly intelligent human being. He's an amazing poet, and he has been learning so many languages. He speaks, you know, all from TV and absorbing the world and being a silent observer of the universe, as he calls, wow. As he says it on his Instagram. So now he is a poet, and he, you know, wants to leave his mark on the world. He wants to find an employer that values his strengths. And so that's really our mission at Mentra. The organization we're building, we're sort of like a LinkedIn for the neurodiverse, except we're built with accessibility from the ground up. And we really want to build an inclusive online community that connects employers with neurodivergent individuals and tap into that neuro exceptional potential, just like my own brothers with poetry. So excited to be here, and I'll pass it over to Connor.
That's awesome. So yeah, Connor, what's your background? What brought you here?
Yeah, great question. So I met Jillica about 4 years ago when I was at Georgia Tech. And she gave this really compelling story as part of TEDx. I was organizing the TED conference that she spoke at about her brother. And her call to action was that as technologists, so many of us at Georgia Tech are not necessarily focused in on empowering this community but we have so much power to make a difference. So we got involved with the local Atlanta area autism community. And at the time it was an on-campus project. And I remember vividly going into a class in the Atlanta community where half the class was non-speaking, autistic, and the other half was neurotypical. And this was a beautiful example at the time of how so many different minds can collaborate together. And in that room, I kind of saw the future of what it means to be fully accepted. And the topic was actually around climate change, which is another passion of mine. But anyway, fast forward to today, we've built out Mentra as a tool to unlock and empower the neurodiverse around the world, around the country, into all kinds of different roles. And we're really bringing employers in on this mission as well. And it's come full circle for me because I've recently, as of this February, been diagnosed on the spectrum. I did not know that when we started, but it makes a lot of sense in hindsight. So happy to dive deeper.
Well, that's awesome. Well, that's actually sort of going to probably lead me to some other questions for you, if you don't mind sharing about your personal stuff, but we can hold off on that until a little bit later. So one alarm did just go off. And the last person to comment was Violet Kino, who is my daughter. So I'm not really sure that that's fair that she gets the prize. So I'm going to give it to Fran Smith. So Fran, thank you. Keep the comments coming. Anything that you want to say, it doesn't even necessarily have to be show specific, but that would be helpful. If you have any questions for Connor or Jillica, be sure to put those in there. I've got the timer is the next alarm is set. I don't remember what times I set them for. So keep putting in those comments, just even if it's hashtag live that you're with us, that will work great. So for Jillica or Connor, it's up to you who wants to answer this. How long have you been doing this, and what sort of successes have you seen?
Jillica, you
want to
cover it?
Now, sure. For the last 2 years, so we started at Georgia Tech. We were a group of students, disability advocates ourselves. And then as we were doing research with the community, we worked with Autism Self-Advocacy Network in Atlanta. We brought together other advocates to inform our actual product design, our research. We were able to build a really candidate-centered user experience. So really solving a lot of the invisible barriers that exist today with neurodivergents looking for jobs and entering the workforce. And we built around that to really make sure it's accessible, especially cognitively accessible for this community. And the success that we're seeing today, 2 years later, we've built the platform. We have 1,500 neurodivergent job seekers who have signed up. We also have around 12 companies that are neurodivergent friendly who are hiring from Mentra. And we are, we're expanding, we're growing. We are looking to bring, we actually have this fall, we're launching with 21 different universities that primarily on the East Coast to bring about change on student, on campuses within student communities as well, so that they know that, employers are looking for different thinking, out of the box, and, innovation and increased productivity. And there is a talent, platform that is accepting of that and, in fact, wants those neuroexceptional talents to shine. So those are just some examples of the progress for most recently.
That's awesome. In just 2 years, you have 1,500 participants. That's incredible. And I know that there are millions more out there who could really benefit from what you guys are doing. So Connor, did you have anything you wanted to add to what Jillica said?
Yeah, for sure. So we really are, we've been doing this for about 2 years kind of on a part-time basis. And we really are pretty new into going full-time on the project this March. And since then, it has really taken off. We've gotten over 30 people hired since then. And one of the stories that really speaks to me is one of the more recent folks who signed up on our service, who grew up on disability as an orphan, unfortunately living in a institution. And she signed up to the Mentra service, living in low-income housing and working as a barista. And when she came onto the Mentra platform, we did our one-time application because you only have to apply once to Mentra to get matched to dozens of opportunities. she, we understood that she was capable of so much more than just serving coffee. And we saw through her aptitude on her profile that she had a lot of the raw skills needed to go into more of a software career. We actually helped her go through a boot camp where now we're very proud to say she's gotten a role with Wells Fargo in New York. So we're helping her move across country, get the right support systems in place, and really build a, you know, the next chapter of her life and kind of open those doors. So I think that's just one story that speaks to the level of opportunity that, you know, brings us all the motivation we need to continue this work.
And why is it so important that you guys had to have this platform? Why doesn't LinkedIn work for the population that you're working with?
It is a great question, and it's one that really sits at the core of why we started this. When you're looking at LinkedIn or any resume-based service today, it's all focused on primarily your education and your work experience. And when we look at work experience in general, even for a neurotypical, the first job you get out of high school or out of college is kind of arbitrary, almost depending on your network and depending on, you know, how the luck of the draw lands. That job essentially determines the rest of your entire career, because you can get branded as what you do, and that continues to propagate throughout your whole career. And that's an unfortunate reality for neurotypicals, but for neurodivergence, it really becomes a critical barrier to ever entering the workforce at all, because if you don't get that first job through your network and through the traditional process, then it can be very difficult to ever enter in into the meaningful career opportunities that so much of us deserve and would really thrive in. And with Mentra, we've built a system that can lean away from those traditional predictors of success and focus more attention onto the non-traditional predictors of success that are so important for this community, including their neuro-exceptional strengths, any sort of projects or other passions that the individual might have had outside of the traditional work context, any sort of video resume or hobbies that somebody has brought to the table, as well as their environmental sensitivities and the accommodations that they need to succeed in the interviews. So we consider all of that when we're making our matches, and that's what has allowed us to have 100% retention rate to date with the employers that we're working with.
That's awesome. So I don't know if you guys heard the alarm, but another alarm went off. So Kate Floyd, you were the last person before the alarm went off. So Kate, make sure that you connect with me so that we can figure out which gift card you would like and also how to get that. So I did just want to touch on some of the comments that we've been getting. So from Kate, finding a connection with neurodivergent individuals is amazing to discover how we can provide the confidence and respect they deserve. And earlier we had from Colleen that she loves the passion you both share for this topic and project. And she also had a question. How do you recommend making connections with employers?
Yeah, that's a great question. Jillica, you want to take a stab? Not again.
Absolutely. So the question is, how do I recommend connecting with employers? Yes. So when it comes to sort of, I would say, you know, networking, using LinkedIn is something that, you know, today has been working really well in connecting with folks, but obviously that's not always reliable. And so the goal with what we've done is we realized there's a lot of champions within organizations that support neurodiversity hiring or support, you know, the resources for this community. And so bringing those change makers from organizations together to mentor is really a big, big goal of ours. So if neurodivergents are looking for, you know, to connect with employers that care about this community and this cause, that's exactly why, you know, we work with those employers to join the platform and then to use Mentra to be able to look at inclusive profiles, to be able to hire, to be able to connect with individuals. Eventually, we're also looking at building a mentorship program. So neurodivergents within companies can actually mentor folks who are looking for jobs as well. So really lifting the entire community together. And we are firm believers in mentorship. I mean, that's what inspired the name Mentra. So those are just a few ways to connect. Happy to add more, or Connor, if you want to share, feel free.
Yeah, I think, you know, as neurodivergence in particular, when we're connecting with employers, in order for us to really succeed, and it may be some of us can get jobs without doing this, that's definitely possible. But if you don't really own up to your neurodiversity, what does it mean for you? What exceptional strengths can you bring to the table? And what do you need to be truly successful? If that information is not conveyed up front, then we're inherently limiting ourselves. And when it comes to connecting with employers, you know, in the traditional context, it is very difficult to unmask. Unmasking our neurodiversity is, first of all, there's no real playbook for it. It's an anxiety-provoking process that has no real structure. You never know what the other person's going to respond and whether it's going to be considered a good thing or a bad thing. And I think that oftentimes is a big enough barrier to prevent, you know, most folks from unmasking. In fact, that's why we see upwards of 90% of neurodivergence in the workforce not self-identifying. And I think in general, that holds the community back in many ways. And that's where mentors really come in to try to make a big difference, is because we're bringing on employers who already see our value, who have expressed the interest in hiring neurodivergence because we improve their business productivity, because we bring so much to the table, then it gives us all a place where we can go and feel comfortable unmasking from the very beginning before we even get an interview to say that we are neurodivergent. We have these unique characteristics about us that make us, that bring value, that also require some accommodations. And showing that up front and being in a safe environment for that, it's a win for everybody. Because when you connect in that regard through a place like Mentra, we're setting the employers up to really capitalize on understanding our talents and putting us to roles where we can thrive. And we're also setting ourselves up for going into environments where we don't have to hide who we are and feel anxious every day about challenges that nobody around us can understand. We can get our teammates involved, and we can be open about what we need to succeed and be celebrated for that. And that's how we as a community, in my opinion, will be fully integrated and key players in building the workforce of tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's so beautiful. That, I mean, the self-identifying, the unmasking, as you said, and I like that as well. There are so many abilities that everyone possesses, and I really appreciated the story of the gal who came to you and was kind of thinking about one field, and then now she's working at Wells Fargo doing computer stuff. I mean, because we all have things that we like to do, but we're not necessarily inclined to work in that way. And so kind of fleshing that out with your potential employers is, our employees is excellent, I think. And do you guys know what the latest statistic is? I know at one time it was either 2 or 3 times the unemployment rate versus a typical person. Do you know, is that about the same still?
Yeah, it can be as high as 80% unemployment in the neurodivergent community. That also includes drastic underemployment. For example, somebody who could be making an $80,000 salary position working for barely minimum wage.
Right.
But essentially, the population average is still sub 3%. And it is the right time for employers to look at, you know, hiring folks who they may not have considered before. We work with employers all the time who are having trouble filling their roles, and they actually have roles that work really well for the neurodiverse, but they just don't have that understanding of how broad our community really is. And we're constantly trying to evolve their definition of what does it mean to hire neurodivergence, and wherever we can, we showcase the stories of neurodivergence who are successful in their profession. We're trying to spotlight neurodivergence who've been successful in almost every profession, whether that's writing, music, production, entertainment, design, you know, the arts, as well as technology roles. There's a very wide breadth of success stories that most people haven't really grasped the diversity of.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I do this show. because there, you know, like I said, there are just so many abilities that all of us have. And when we're given the opportunity to share that with people, my hope with this program is to change people's perspectives on looking at someone who has a label or has a diagnosis or has a visible disability, to not look at the disability first, but look at the abilities and the strengths and work those in, and then, okay, yeah, we can accommodate for some of these other things that, you know, you're not as strong in. I'm a former teacher. I don't know what you guys know about my background, but there were too many people that I heard say things like, well, he or she will never, you know, fill in the blank, go to college, get married, have a job. And I was like, why? Why do you have such a limiting belief? I think a big part of it was exposure, is they just didn't see people doing things. And maybe they saw them, but they didn't realize that they had a disability or they had a label or a diagnosis. And so I so appreciate what you said about the unmasking, because it isn't technically anyone's business, but at the same time, if you're not accepting and proud of who you are and you're not sharing that with others, then it's that role model. Like, no one has a role model if they don't know that's their role. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
I'm not doing a very good job of it.
I mean, I was diagnosed at age 24. So think about it. For me, I didn't know that I was on the spectrum before that. I was my whole life. But before that, there was a lot of times where I was in workplace environments where certain things would become very challenging for me to navigate. And I would never understand why. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people would not react the way I predicted. And it's always kind of a situation that blindsided me and caused me immense anxiety. And it wasn't until after getting diagnosed that I began to understand, okay, these are communication differences that are inherent to the way that I think and the way that I am. And once I understood that, I could communicate that, and the people around me were able to accommodate how I communicated differently and really give me a chance to be able to thrive in the role and to not go to sleep every day with an anxiety that, even though I was trying my best, I wasn't really fitting into the way that I wanted to. So I think even if somebody can get hired and maintain a career, you know, maintaining a career and thriving in it, the differentiator there is being able to unmask.
Yeah. So, Jillica, we haven't heard from you in a couple of minutes, so I don't want you to think we're not, you know, interested. So I have a question directly for you. Do you hire or do you work with people for free, like LinkedIn? You know, you can put your profile up there and it's free to connect. And then the second question is connected to that one. Are your employers all virtual? Or do you, I guess with Wells Fargo, you kind of answered this. Are they in person or is it sort of a combination of both?
Yeah. So yes, to your first question, the platform is completely free for the neurodivergent job seeker. I saw Colleen's comment. I'm glad that you love this section. And yes, we tried to incorporate a cover letter and a resume and sort of a profile with a digital aspect of, having holistic information about videos. So it's all in there. And we're trying to show that, you know, neurodivergents are multidimensional. You can't convey everything about a neurodivergent with just the resume. So that's the goal there. And then to your question about, is it in person or remote? So the employers we work with today have all sorts of, you know, they're in person in different states in the United States. We're launched in America right now, but the long-term goal is to be global. And we realize that there are a lot of stigmas to neurodiversity, especially in Southeast Asia and a lot of other parts of the world where neurodiversity is not. I mean, it is a very new term even to this country. So as it evolves and as folks get diagnosed and as there's more resources to do so, we want to make it global. So the jobs are virtual as well. And a lot of employers are realizing that neurodivergents need to be in their safe space to work well and to thrive. And in fact, can be more productive if they're not spending a lot of time commuting or figuring out the social norms of the workplace environment. So we're accepting of all forms of jobs, including part-time, full-time internships. So for college students, we do have internships. So, yep, hopefully that answers the question.
Yeah, it did. And so so I'm going to have you go ahead and answer this question. Do you have a template that she could use to access, to modify for 5th to 9th grade students?
That's a great question. So, I'm so glad you asked that, because right now our primary focus has been we started for folks who age out of, the government programs after the age of 22, especially who go to voc rehab. And then we realized colleges and college students also will need this to be able to talk about, what their neurodiversity is, to communicate that with an employer, to prepare for that during interviews. And then we've also spoken now with schools in the DC area, Ivymont and a few others, like in Montgomery. We're realizing that even in schools, introducing mentor is important, because just answering the questions, we have someone signs up, it's a 20-minute onboarding process. And just going through the questions, we've heard feedback where people said, oh, no one's ever asked me about this before, but it's actually so important to how I work. And so being able to express that, realize that, employers do care about this information. They do realize that your environment or your sensory preferences or, your communication styles are important to you succeeding. And then being able to vocalize that in, even in a classroom setting is so important to your teachers, to your counselors. So yes, it is available for 5th to 9th grade students. The platform is designed to be accessible to everyone. So someone could, for example, fill it in and share that they're in high school and not fill out their work experience yet. But the goal is once they sign up, they're connected to what we're calling the Mentorverse. And it's sort of a place where neurodivergent can connect with each other, share, we share webinars, we share talks about it. We have a webinar we hosted recently about unmasking, where neurodivergent speak about that as well. So it's really a community for everyone who is neurodivergent and everyone involved in the neurodivergent ecosystem as well. So ecosystem providers, parents, partners, university counselors, everyone. The answer is yes. I'm glad you asked the question.
Yeah, that was a great question, Colleen. Connor, did you have anything to add to that before we move on?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. I mean, the way we think of the mentor profile is that it is a holistic understanding of who you are. What is your strengths, passions, neurodiversity? What does it mean for you as an individual to bring your neurodiversity to work? And that is so different for everybody. And we also think of the mentor profile as a place that can be useful to share with your colleagues and classmates, even maybe before necessarily getting a job, or even after you already have a job, to be able to have like almost a working with me style document that you could share. So we really try to streamline that process. And that's how I think about it anyway.
So I did want to pull up the website since we were talking about, getting on the site and the platform and everything. So tell me sort of where to visit and kind of what why each section is important.
Absolutely. Yeah. So in order to sign up, you go to the top right corner and that would take you to a quick form, where you could just enter your name, your email, set a password. And as soon as that's complete, you'll have an account. You'll be able to activate that and answer 20 to 30 minutes of questions. Now, if you click on I am right beside it where it says a neurodivergent job seeker, there's sort of a drop-down menu on the first question of the form. And there's a different option. So you could be an employer signing up. You could be a neurodivergent job seeker. You could be a partner, and it sort of shows down below in that dropdown. So depending on what, stakeholder you are in the process, you can sign up that way. And then I guess a bit about the profile itself. If you click on the top left corner where it says, about or mentor, that'll sort of take you to that inclusive profile that we've built down there, where Connor can talk more about sort of how it's holistic and what else it conveys, which actually he spoke about it earlier, sort of taking a multidimensional approach to the individual.
Okay, so this is Colleen's answer to the thank you that there is a 5 through 9th grade. And then I just wanted to show this one too. She thinks it aligns with person-centered planning, just with a focus on employment. So, all right. Sorry, Connor, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, essentially, we think of the exercise of today, you know, if you're aging out of support systems, once you've turned 18, you reach your early 20s, there's going to be a point where you have to apply to jobs. And when you get to that point, it's kind of a very difficult process, because for neurodivergence, oftentimes, since we don't have the work experience and we're not necessarily all from traditional backgrounds, you know, it can be very difficult to even make it past the resume parser. So you may apply to 100 jobs and not even hear back from a single one. Hmm. Or if you do, go through interview processes and phone screens that are very anxiety provoking, and only get turned down later on in the process because the recruiters and hiring managers don't understand your neurodiversity. So we have folks who applied, you know, over 500 times to applications to these jobs. And it takes all their energy and all their time, and there's so little results-wise that comes out of it, that we thought that we had to make, there has to be a better way for this community to get recognized by employers. And that's really what birthed the whole idea of the mentor profiles, that with mentor, you can apply one time, it takes about 30 minutes, and you will get this profile. And then from there, the employers come to you, because we've built a matching system where we can recommend candidates to employers. And if they are interested in you, they would have already gotten the deep understanding of who you are. They can invite you to the next steps in the process with their company. And that means for a job seeker, they get focused on growing and getting matched to upskilling opportunities, gaining mentorship, and actually adding projects and work samples to their portfolios, rather than applying. And that's what our whole goal is, to help really upskill and empower the neurodivergent community and have the employers come to them through the platform.
That's so awesome. And one of the things that I find most exciting, or I mean, it is exciting, and I'm not sure that's the real word that I want, but the fact that they have that intake, that 20 to 30 minute intake with one of your people, so that you can help them figure out the things to put in that resume, the things that are their likes and their dislikes. And, you know, like you said, you have some of them that will say, well, nobody's ever asked me that question before, you know, and to get them thinking about those other things. And I'm sure that whether it was a neurotypical or a neurodiverse person, you would ask the same questions pretty much, and you would get similar responses of, oh, well, no one's ever asked me like how I like to work or where I like to work or when I, or what, I mean, I don't know what your questions are, but you know, so could you take us through, like, do you have the same set of questions basically, or do they change depending on the person and what they're seeking?
Absolutely. So I guess we have 4 different sections on the onboarding. So first we ask about strengths and personality. So what jobs their individual is interested in, what technical skills they have, what soft skills they have, what types of tasks and workplace behaviors work best for them. Then we get into the environmental preferences. So there we go into whether the individual has sensory needs or certain preferences. It also asks about what timings work best for the individual, whether they prefer to work remote or in person, what kinds of, whether they can do certain tasks in their environment, like being around food or heavy lifting, or sort of, you know, anything that might be in the environment, uniforms, things like that, sound sensitivities, light sensitivities. And then we go into sort of the career background. So we realize that this community, there is no, as Connor said, because of that 80% under an unemployment rate, we understand that individuals might not have work experience or might not have gone to college or even high school. And what we ask about in order to understand their career background is, are there any work samples from past jobs or past projects that the individual has worked on? Can they write a cover letter about why they're passionate about this field and what sort of lit that spark in them when they were growing up to pursue this field, so that the passion comes through and the skills can always be taught at the end of the day by the employer, depending on the training. But we really want to showcase sort of more than just that. And then finally, the fourth section, we ask about any, personal information, whether that's understanding more about how their diagnosis might affect them at work, if there's anything an employer needs to know that we should try to work with them on, where they, live, visa, all of this sort of things that any hiring platform would need to understand before making a job. And voila, the profile is made. And it's automatic. It's generated by, beauty of technology, and it's a standardized, we call it the next generation of resumes. So it's built, and then it could be embellished over time. So for students, like Colleen mentioned earlier, working in classrooms, I think, have an individual having a profile is helpful, because then as they evolve in their career and in their schooling, then they can add different projects to it. They can choose to hide certain things. Maybe if they decide they want to go into a totally different career path and all their experience is in, let's say, design, and they want to move into being a therapist, for example, they could sort of move things around and gear that profile towards that employer that they're looking to work with. So eventually they'll get more and more sophisticated, and we can have, profiles that are visible to certain types of employers. So you're looking to be a designer or a therapist, you could have that geared. So that's where AI steps in, and that's where the technology part of what we're building will sort of become more and more evolved and sophisticated based on what we've learned from the user group, because we're always learning from our users and making this a very human-centered platform.
That's awesome. So Connor, I don't know, are you wanting to share a screen? Because I could see down at the below our main screen that you were trying to, or was that an accident?
Oh yeah. Did it come through? I was trying to, but
I have to actually put it up into the screen. So you want to pull up whatever it was. Yeah.
Happy to share. Yeah. Let me try again.
Yeah, so I'll get rid of your website for just a minute. And then I want you to think about, Jillica, while he's getting that ready, and Connor, this could be for you too. For the employer, like, what do you do? So that was all about the employee. And so I want to talk about from the, from either a university's perspective or a person seeking an employee, kind of what it looks like for them. So are you ready for me to share this, Connor?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, there you go.
Awesome. So here you can see a mentor profile. We've been talking about it. Now you can see it. So this is for, sample candidate. And essentially everything we're talking about is essentially automatically generated. So every neurodivergent job seeker that signs up will get a profile like this one. And you can see that there's work samples that showcase any sort of passion projects, both in and out of the workplace or through educational experience that kind of link out to work samples. So whether that's like a UX portfolio that somebody's put together for their design work, or a GitHub repository for their development work, or writing samples, or whatever that may be. We help every job seeker. We actually meet with them and help them showcase their skills there through work samples. We also meet with them to record video resumes and help them really convey their talents and personality through in that process. And here you can see on the left, the neuroexceptional talent. So every job seeker who is neurodivergent has a neuroexceptional talent that we help uncover and share with employers, as well as, of course, traditional skills with proficiency level shown right here. So we do our skills screening during the sign-up process. As an important part, which is the accommodations and the environmental sensitivities that someone might have that really could make or break a successful job placement. Of course, you do have your work experiences here and education, but there's a lot more, as you can see, that goes into it than just your traditional resume, which is, of course, just a small part in the top right-hand corner.
Right, And I'd love, it's so key, I think, that we do talk about, you know, that people aren't just what they are on paper. And the fact that, and I need to, I need to pause for a second because the alarm did go off. Colleen, you are the winner of one of those gift certificates. So make sure that we connect after this. So I've got Fran, Kate, and Colleen all getting gift certificates at this point. So keep those comments coming. But yeah, I just, the fact that it's the person, I mean, you can't show a work ethic on paper. You can't show really a personality on paper. And so to have that video aspect of it, and again, you know, like you said, there's so much more to a person than just their job, job skills or past experiences, or, you know, what their grades were in school, or even how much schooling they had. So I really, really love that that is incorporated into your database and into your program.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And once somebody does come onto the platform, they can actually go into the Mentorverse, as we call it, where mm-hmm. they're able to see jobs recommended for them, explore upskilling and mentorship opportunities on the platform, and they can get connected with tasks right here from the dashboard, where if they do get invited to a job, there would be clear next steps for them to go and interact with right here. And we do provide mentorship throughout the entire process of applying to Mentra with a one-time application, all the way through to getting an offer letter and relocating to a new city if you were going to relocate. So you asked about what we do for employers. For employers on our platform, we help create inclusive job profiles. So you're seeing one here. And this is essentially a holistic understanding of a job, understanding all the tasks, environmental preferences, communication styles, and a lot more in that opportunity. And we work really hard with our employers to get a clear understanding of what sort of accommodations they provide. And we go a lot deeper than the traditional experience requirements to always challenge the employers to open the aperture. For example, if they're looking for somebody with more than 3 years of experience in a particular field, we might often challenge that to see, is that really required, or is there some other indicator of success that would be just as good at predicting a great job fit? So here you can see that.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, because we get stuck in like, these are the only criteria because we've developed our criteria from someone else's. And so that's what someone else had. And so we're like, oh yeah, that sounds good. I'm going to put that in mine. But yeah, there are other ways that you can show success or resilience or whatever it is that you're looking for.
Exactly. Angelica, you want to talk about the employer profile and the accommodations that every employer can showcase?
It's really a very visual and cognitively accessible breakdown of jobs. We've realized that, especially when employers post, you know, long job descriptions, they have a lot of text. You don't really know if there's a standard process. Like every job description is totally different. And so what we've done is really break it down and make it very transparent. So if you're looking at this job, here's what you will get. You know, here's the task that you'll be working on throughout the job. And here's the hours. Here's why the company's neurodivergent friendly. And all of that information it's hard to find for someone who's looking from the outside at the firm. So putting this all in one place is just so important, we believe, for the community to decide, do I really want to work at this company? Do they really care about me? Do they really value my strengths? So that's what that is on this page. And then every job individually also has an inclusive job profile. So So in addition to understanding the company, if you click view profile, they can see. So yes, right here, individuals can see all the jobs on the platform. And when they click into it, they'll be able to read exactly what the job entails. And also they can select whether or not they like the job or don't like the job. If they're interested, we'll know and we'll recommend them more jobs like that. And if they're not, then we learn from that information and we start recommending jobs. Because, I mean, again, we realize how hard it is to go on Google and to figure out, you know, what is the exact job title of the type of position I'm interested in? how do I find that? How do I know whether or not I'm qualified for it? So we take all of that hard work out of the process and we just put it right here in one place. And it's as easy as saying yes or no. And every time you say yes, we'll learn and give you more jobs just like that. So really taking away a lot of the guesswork is the key here, and make the workforce more accessible.
Yeah. And what you said about, you know, decide for the potential employee to decide when they're reading over these potential employers' profiles, do I want to work for that company? Just because a job is available doesn't mean I should have to take it. And I really love that that is part of the process that your potential employees can go through. And they're like, yeah, I've read over this profile and no, I don't think this is the kind of job that I want. Because again, you know, it doesn't matter the ability level, because I may look at five jobs and think, oh, I really like this company, but then look at what they have to offer and be like, oh, no, I don't like that company. They're not giving me what I thought they would have, or they're not as great as I thought they were going to be, or whatever. And so I really, really appreciate that you are really truly looking at it from, it seems at least, all the different angles, from what the employer would want to what the employee would want to how they can mesh together with one another. And having that is just absolutely incredible. So we have a question. Do you find employers are more accommodating of the needs of the neurodiverse? And do you find they are sensitive to their employees' needs? Great question.
It is a great question.
Yeah, I think in terms of this question, it really depends on the transparency as well as the culture. So what we do is, again, we're trying to demystify as much of the process as possible for everyone involved. The goal is that if somebody's never heard of neurodiversity before, they don't even know what the word means, they could still use Mentra and understand a great deal about the individual people they're interacting with and how those individual people need to be accommodated and best communication practices for that throughout the process. So when an employer understands that somebody's neurodivergent and they understand that person's specific characteristics and what makes them able to thrive and what they need to be successful, that clear understanding for that specific person matters a whole lot more than whether or not the employer as a whole can accommodate neurodiversity in a general sense, because that sort of tailored approach is what's necessary to be successful. And like you mentioned, Jelly, when an employer is on the platform, we do work with them upfront to understand the employer-wide accommodations they can provide and provide that transparency to our job seekers. But I mean, hopefully that answers the question. Jelica, feel free to add. I think that they can be very accommodating, and it comes down to the individual hiring manager and the person that they're interviewing.
Totally. Yes, I think employers are realizing that the status quo, what they were doing before, didn't work. I mean, what they did do was leading to sort of the huge, you know, labor shortage that we have today and the difficulty to find the right talent. And so employers are almost desperate to change their ways because they realize that they have to, you know, change to accommodate the needs of a totally new talent pool that has never been tapped into before, precisely because their attitudes and their behaviors haven't changed. So I think, yes, you know, employers are becoming more and more sensitive to those needs.
Yeah. And so I have a question that's separate, and I did have the alarm went off and I didn't want to interrupt. I think it was Connor that was talking at the time. Kate Floyd, you get another gift certificate. So we definitely need to connect so that you can get both of your gift cards. So my question is, do you seek out employers or do you just wait for potential employers to seek you out?
That is a very important question, because since we are so new, there is a little bit of a lag sometimes between the folks that are signing up and the jobs that we currently have in the pipe. So we're constantly taking an assessment of what are the wide range of skills, abilities, and interests of the people who have signed up as job seekers, and what do we need to do as a team to get those employers truly excited to be able to post jobs and tap into that talent. So it does take time. In fact, most employers on the larger side take up to 2 to 3 months sometimes to allow us to become a sourcing partner. So for those who are on the platform, we always encourage them to be patient because our team is working day and night to find employers and to find opportunities and to knock on those doors on their behalf. And I do think that there's strength in numbers as well. So now that we do have 1,500 job seekers, it's a lot easier for us to walk into the room and be taken seriously, not as a charitable PR initiative, but as a business initiative, because this is a large talent pool. And the larger we grow, the more and more employers really can't turn a blind eye anymore. So if we get to 10,000 people, our goal is that every employer in America, every major employer in America would have to have some presence hiring neurodivergents. And we hope that our technology and our platform, which has been focused on building the best-in-class candidate experience, can be the place that facilitates that. But however that happens, that is really truly our goal. We're constantly going out and bringing employers onto the mission.
I love that. That's an awesome goal. And, you know, I often see things about diversity, inclusion in the workplace, but so often diversity and inclusion excludes neurodivergence. So, so there was something that I had seen and I shared it on my page recently about if you're not including disability in your diversity and inclusion platform, you're doing it wrong. And so to hear your comment regarding that, it was just spot on for where my mind has been lately. And so I hope I've been kind of putting them up here. I hope you guys have been seeing the comments and hopefully you've been able to read them. So I just I do want to go back to this one. She's saying she's so excited to share information with families about potential opportunities the students may have in their future. I'm looking forward to helping them connect with virtual and meaningful employment. So we recognize, those of us on this show today, how awesome your work is. And I'm excited because I feel like I'm at the ground floor of something that is going to be huge very, very soon. And to the fact that you guys are my guests on my 100th episode is really, really special. And I'm so very appreciative. So Colleen has another question here. Is there a specific employment sector that seems to be more accommodating than others?
Right now, another good question.
She's got them today.
Truly. So the main employment sector. So right now we've seen a lot of interest in tech and primarily because there are non-traditional companies like banks and insurance companies that are moving towards a tech-first approach. And so they need to find talent that, you know, they need to be competitive and find the best talent for those roles. So those types of sectors are, you know, looking and sort of on the precipice of sort of revamping their existing models. So neurodiversity inclusion is almost forcing the entire organization to become more innovative and to have more trainings and to become more inclusive. So we've seen that in the tech sectors, and then some other some other interests that we've had from our neurodivergent talent pool are, you know, across looking for roles in like administrative assistance and writing, copy editing, proofreading, different types of sort of writing roles. And so we're seeing immense amounts of creativity for folks in those fields. And I saw the question around, any positions being subsidized through VRs. So we are working with vocational rehabilitation centers across the country to integrate Mentra into there, to have Mentra be the tool of choice. So it's already the tool of choice for at least 22 different universities. We want to make that every university in the country that has a disability employment office that serves neurodivergents on their college campus. And Voc Rehab is also using tools that are a little bit more, I would say not as candidate focused. And so our goal is to be the tool of choice for this community as well. Connor, feel free to add, and I know we're coming to an end. So
yeah, we do. We've got about 4 or 5 minutes. So get your questions in really quick, guys.
Yeah. In a nutshell, if the industry is virtual and it can be done from home. And it's been a lot easier for employers to provide accommodations. It's been a little bit more affordable because when you're in your own environment, oftentimes the employees can set up whatever sort of accommodations they need for themselves. So that's always sort of the gold standard. We have, for example, an employer that works in warehouses and is hiring for forklift operators. So you'd think that might not be the most accommodating role, except for this employer is very innovative. They have their forklifts operated via Zoom from your own computer. So you're operating them as a remote control forklift. And that's been a very accommodating role, just as an example.
That's crazy. So she says, Kate says, I live in a small town and there is a small cafe. She wrote the correct thing that hires the neurodiverse. The name of the restaurant is The Little Red Porch. Thank you for all the valuable information. So that is another question that brings up another question to me. Are the companies that you work with, do they have to have a minimum employee number before you will know? Okay.
Yeah. So it's a great question. The service is always free for job seekers. How do we make that possible? We do have a range of offerings for employers. It's a paid service for employers. That being said, we love working with small businesses. If you have any small businesses in your area that you think might be interested, you can send them to our website and have them click sign up, and then they can choose I am an employer. When they do that, if they have a lower headcount or if they are a smaller business, it will be very, very much more affordable for them to go onto the platform. So we're trying to reduce the barriers for small businesses to hire from this talent pool. For corporations, it's more of a corporate pricing structure,
sure. But
we have a kind of a sliding scale based on the company size.
Awesome. Are all of the wages competitive?
Absolutely. Everything on the platform is over $15 an hour. We are offering competitive integrated employment only, and we're very proud of the plethora of opportunities that can be provided there.
Cool. And you are across the country, right? You're not just in one location.
Okay. Around the United States.
Awesome. All right. Well, we need to start wrapping up. We do have less than a couple of minutes here to go. So I just want to again, thank you so much for being here. This has been absolutely fabulous. I've loved the conversation between the guests and my audience. But I want to give you, Jillica and Connor, one last opportunity to say anything that you wanted to say that you haven't had a chance to say.
For sure. Everybody here in the audience, thank you for kind of taking the time and supporting this 100th episode. If you know anybody who's neurodivergent, who's looking for work, we are a free service that lasts a lifetime. So feel free to share. And if you know any employers or job coaches or any sort of partners who might benefit from the service, they can also sign up on the Mentor platform. And we do work with job coaches as well as vocational rehabilitation programs. So feel free to share the word about our solution. And we're always open to feedback, to learning how we can grow our technology to fit the evolving needs of the community.
Absolutely. And if you want to reach anyone on our team, you can just reach out to info@mentor.me and we'll be sure to respond. And we're more than happy to collaborate. And we realize that innovation can only happen in this space if we work together and join forces and really build bridges rather than barriers. So that's really our goal. And thank you, Shelley, for having us on the show. Really an honor to be here and join your audience and your community.
It was great. Thank you guys so much again. Thank you for everyone who participated today. We've got one last comment from Colleen. Thank you for your time today. This is an interest of mine. Yeah. Thanks, Colleen, for joining and all of your questions. And again, Fran, Kate, and Colleen, make sure that we connect after this so that I can get you that gift card. Thank you for your participation. Next week, I don't have a guest yet. So I was so focused on this one that I forgot to schedule next week. So I'm not sure if I'll take a break or if I'll find someone between now and then. But even if I don't have, one last question really quick. Is there a minimum age to sign up?
So in terms of signing up right now, we are 18 plus. Okay. We are looking for folks to enter the workforce full time. We also provide internships and co-op opportunities.
Awesome. All right. So on that note, we do have to go. My timer's about to end and we're going to get cut off in mid-sentence if I don't. So thank you all again so much. Thank you for everyone who's participated in all 100 episodes. And I look forward to doing at least 100 more.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.